Good evening. I would like to call tonight's Tuesday, May 7th, adjourned September Kendall County Board meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sesich?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
She will not be here.
Mr. Giles?
He will not be here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum?
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the County Board minutes from April 3rd, 2019?
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Sesich. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda with the following amendment. I'd like to move item 11A1 to the first item of special recognition.
Second.
Thank you. Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. Next up, under special recognition, first item is approval of a proclamation declaring May Historic Preservation Month in Kendall County. May I have a motion to that?
So moved.
Motion by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Sesich. Mr. Prochaska, would you like to read that for us? And Ms. Hyman, I see you in the back. Do you want to come up? And as long as you're here.
Whereas historic preservation is an effective tool for managing growth and sustainable development, revitalizing neighborhoods, fostering local pride, and maintaining community character while enhancing livability. And whereas historic preservation is relevant for communities across the nation, both urban and rural, and for Americans in all ages, all walks of life, and all ethnic backgrounds, and whereas it is important to celebrate the role of history in our lives and the contributions made by dedicated individuals in helping to preserve the tangible aspects of our heritage that has helped shape us as a people. And whereas This Place Matters is the theme for National Preservation Month 2019, co-sponsored by Kendall County and the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Therefore, the Board of Kendall County do proclaim May as National Preservation Month and call upon the people of Kendall County to join their fellow citizens across the United States in recognizing and participating in this special observance.
Thank you, and I want to recognize, are you the actually chairing it now?
Yes,
yeah,
I am.
Okay. The chair of our Historic Preservation Commission. Yeah, Christine Hyman, thanks for coming out tonight.
Yeah,
you want to tell us about what you're working on a little bit?
I'm sorry?
Want to talk about what you guys are working on a little bit?
Well, let's see.
Not to put you on the spot.
we moved our next meeting till this Thursday night, so we had to do that. And let's see, we're going to be presenting an award that same night. Oh, no, it's your next county board meeting.
Okay.
And stuff. So we're plugging along. We did an event in February at LaSalle Manor, and that was well attended. We invited some of the historic groups in the county to come. That was a real nice event.
Amy, you heard some really good things about that.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for this.
Thank you.
No, thank you. We appreciate all the hard work that you put in, and I want to recognize the champion of historic preservation, John Purcell.
The champion.
<'Cause I'm> old. So I was wondering, is there any way in, say, the next 30 days you could come up with $300,000 or $400,000 in donations to help save the old jail here? Because I would love to get some support on that.
So you're still working on that?
That's good. He's going for help.
As mayor of Yorkville.
As mayor of Yorkville, okay. Yeah,
I saw a hand raised in the back. You guys have three.
Well, maybe we should form a group.
Thank you again. We appreciate it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. That will recognize May as National Preservation Month. And thanks to both of you for the reminder. Next up is approval of the 2019 National Police Week Proclamation.
So
may I have a motion by Sesich, seconded by Hendricks. Ms. Sesich, would you mind reading that for us?
Yes, I would, actually.
Thank you.
All right, Law Enforcement Appreciation Week. To recognize National Police Week 2019 and to honor the service and sacrifice of those local, state, and federal law enforcement officers who have died or have been disabled in the line of duty. Whereas there are approximately 900,000 law enforcement officers serving in communities across the United States, including dedicated members of the Kendall County Sheriff's Office. Whereas nearly 60,000 assaults against law enforcement officers are reported each year, resulting in approximately 16,000 injuries. Whereas since the first recorded death in 1791, over 23,000 law enforcement officers in the United States have made the ultimate sacrifice and been killed in the line of duty. Whereas the names of these dedicated public servants are engraved on the wall of Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C. Whereas at least 144 federal, state, and local names of fallen law enforcement heroes are being added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial this spring, sadly reminding us that public safety comes at a very steep price. Whereas the service and sacrifice of all officers killed in the line of duty will be honored during the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund 31st Annual Candlelight Vigil on the evening of Monday, May 13th, 2019. Whereas the Candlelight Vigil is part of National Police Week, which takes place this May 12, 18, 2019. Whereas each year, May 15th, is designated as Peace Officers Memorial Day in honor of all fallen officers and their families, and U.S. flags should be flown at half staff. Whereas the Kendall County Board is grateful for the service and dedication of the 52 patrol deputies, 46 correction deputies, 14 part-time deputies, 2 K-9 unit dogs, 15 auxiliary officers, and 12 civilian staff who serve and protect Kendall County and for the sacrifices made by their families. Therefore, be it resolved that Kendall County Board formally designates May 12th through 18th, 2019 as Law Enforcement Appreciation Week in Kendall County and publicly salutes the service of law enforcement in our county and in communities across the nation, adopted by the Kendall County Board on this seventh day of May 2019.
Thank you very much. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All eyes on that. And Sheriff, could you come up for a minute? We have somebody like to present to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much for all your support.
Thank you.
I don't know what you've been waiting for.
Me to leave.
Next up, we have a motion to approve John Purcell Day proclamation.
So moved.
Motion by John Purcell. Seconded by Matt Kellogg. Mr. Kellogg, would you like to read our proclamation?
Sure.
Let's go down the line.
I think you should make Purcell.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah, there you go. Mr. Purcell, will you read the proclamation?
If you really want me to.
I do. I would like you to.
Let me find it. Okay.
I said we'd get choked up on that one.
So. Yeah, sorry about that.
County of Kemmel proclamation, whatever the number is. Whereas John D. Purcell was born October 7, 1968 in Aurora, Illinois, to Jack and Virginia Purcell. I am old. John Purcell graduated from Yorkville High School in 1986, graduated from Waubonsie Community College in 1988, and graduated with a bachelor's degree in business from Adams State College in Alamosa, Colorado in 1990. And whereas John Purcell was united in marriage in 2009 in Yorkville, Illinois, and has been happily married for 10 years to Jackie Purcell, nee, Marcellus, and John and Jackie have a son, Alex, a son, Benedict, a daughter, Molly, and a daughter, Josephine, a.k.a. Coco. And whereas John Purcell began working at Countryside Center and took over the family business, currently Purcell's Yorkville Ace Hardware, after his father's passing in 1995, and where John Purcell served as a Kendall County Board Member and Kendall County Forest Preserve Commissioner from December 2000 through May 2019, serving as the County Board Chair, the Chair of the Finance Committee, the Vice Chair of the Health and Environment Committee, as well as a committee member of the Animal Control Committee, the Budget and Finance Committee, the Economic Development Committee, the Ellis Ad Hoc Committee, the Facilities Management Committee, the Forest Preserve Finance Committee, the Forest Preserve Planning Ad Hoc, the Judicial Legislative Committee, and the Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee, and whereas John Purcell has also served on the Fox Valley Family YMCA Executive Board since 1996, now therefore be it resolved by the Kendall County Board that May 14, 2019 is declared John Purcell Day, and the board further encourages his family, friends, and all who know and appreciate him to give me the highest respect and honor to which I am due, adopted by the County Board this 7th day of May, 2019.
Wow, this is all we needed.
Ms. Hendricks.
I think for the vote, Mr. Chairman,
we shall
that
vote
Mr.
No.
Purcell should be considered not here.
He did not indicate this prior to the meeting that he would recuse himself from this discussion, so unfortunately we do have to act as though he is here for a little bit longer. Well, thank you for that. Do I have a motion in a second?
Yes.
And that was the first time I've seen that.
That was a good first read. So I wanted to just say a couple of things myself, and then if there's anyone here that would care to say anything as well, there
yes.
there may be a few. I wore my this tie tonight, John. I don't know if you may or may not recognize it. Me wearing a tie and a white shirt is how I first met John when I was at Safari Market many years ago. We were all required to wear a tie and a white shirt, and this is actually one vintage from. It was still on my hanger with the tied, so I could just put it around my neck and pull it up. And it's a Bulls tie because back in the 90s, you know, they were winning, and it took them a while to get over the hump. Not unlike you, John. You know, it took a while, and you finally beat the Detroit Pistons yourself and made it onto the board. Where you know the Bulls, it took years and years to get past those Pistons, and after a couple of tries, you made it here, and you've never looked back. You know, you.
Well, that's what you all think.
You may have wondered what you got into, but your winning streak is just like the Bulls. I think you may have six wins. Does that sound right to get back on here? I think that might be right. So, at any rate, I appreciate talking to you back then. I recall, I was the produce department, and he worked on the grounds I don't know what all you did, but you seemed to be in there a lot in the grocery store. And I think it was my first election. I remember you walked up, and I was in District 1 at the time, so I could vote for you. And you handed me a little business card and said, will you, vote for me? I'm going to run for county board. And I figured, well, hey, here's somebody that I know, my first election, may as well. And didn't work out that time, and if I could have that vote back, I might. But I need a do-over. But at any rate, thank you for your service to this county, and thank you for raising my interest in county government as well, and appreciate some of the good times, and we've definitely had some battles on here. But I think that makes it interesting, and that makes it for good government ultimately, when we all have differing opinions and are able to get them out. And I can't match the noise level sometimes, but but we've had some good runs, and really do appreciate all you've done for us and for this county, and just wanted to say that. And been getting a little nostalgic when I was thinking about it, going back to the safari days and how that's countryside is not there anymore, but that's progress, and we've moved on. So thank you.
My pleasure.
And with that, Ms. Sessage.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to say something, and when I got on the board back in 2012, John, you were like my nemesis, the antithesis to good. There was evil. So much like Ms. Vickery when she was here saying that you guys battled, we had our battles. God, we had battles. So, in fact, when I didn't win the next election, everybody said, I bet you're glad to be away from John. And I'm like, you know what? No, because I appreciated our conversations, our arguments, and our battles. It made me a better board member when we went to battle something, or if I knew there was something that you absolutely opposed, it made me work really hard to prove you wrong or to get to the point where you didn't oppose it anymore. And I appreciate that.
Did that work often?
It did.
Okay.
And I've told you that I appreciated that. You weren't easy, and we MF'd each other all the time. But it shouldn't be. It should not be easy. You know, it shouldn't
tape
be
delay.
Easy. We should definitely be having those discussions, and we should. There should be questions, and you know, we should value each other's opinions. And I think you were always respectful. Well, I don't know if respectful is the term, but I think you listened, and then you said, "Here's why you're wrong." So I appreciated that. You made me a better board member. So I'm going to miss you as much as that hurts me to say. I will miss you. And I appreciate your support, you know, after, you know, when we went to our vote for our first meeting. So I appreciate that. And I think in your belief in me as vice chair. So that was much appreciated. So I wish you luck because you're in my town. You are my mayor now. And so I wish you much luck on that.
Did you want to say something?
In
the back?
The peanut gallery.
She's not
sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Anyone else want to? Ms. Hendricks.
Well, John and I have also disagreed. And it is, he is very much that way. He will listen to your point of view and almost never agree with you anyway. But I have appreciated the debate. And I just wanted you to know that I don't resent the diminished hearing in my left ear that has come on since sitting next to you.
I still can't hear out of my right ear.
Yeah, these last 3 years. And despite the disagreements, I think it's fair to say that you will be missed on the board.
Fair.
Mr. Purcell, you were always one to watch and liven the debate. And there was many lively debates, especially when Mr. Davidson was here. That said, I also want to thank you for, you were one of the first supporters for the old jail and actually donated some PVC pipe that became the roving jail where we would lock people up or their kids or whatever, and it helped raise a little money for that jail that's now Yorkville. So it was some of your seed money that actually, along with a few citizens who had a vision for that building and were really close there. So you're in a position now to actually get that thing across the finish line, and we're, for the citizens that put in a lot of time on that effort, we're hopefully optimistic that your leadership will continue on that effort, and we can get that done and have that mated with the jewel we have as the courthouse. So the only thing I would recommend is when you were the county board member and you had the chairman seat, you used to have a little crown that was up there, and I would recommend you leave that at home. Don't take it to Yorkville for a while, so let them get used to you. So that's the only advice I'd give you.
Thank you. Anyone else care to say anything? Mr. Kellogg.
I'll do it real quick. First time I met John, he probably doesn't remember this event at the Kendall Pub. We had a...
Definitely
probably, I know.
There was a group meeting there, and John probably owes his life to me because he was helping himself to somebody's chicken fingers without permission. And the individual stood up and was ready to, quote, kill that guy. And I stepped in and talked him down, and John probably doesn't even know that happened. So
saved your life.
That was my first interaction with John. Was, oh, my God, this guy's crazy. But on a serious note, I really appreciate everything you've done for the county, especially the last 2.5 years watching what you've done with the finance side. The county is in a good financial position, and I think a lot of that credit goes directly to you with your conservative position on the budgets and all the things you've done to make the money work. So really appreciate that. I'm going to miss having you with your calculator brain sitting across from me and shouting out numbers before some of us can even think what they are. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Wyman? Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you going to give me a FOIA, Jim?
Jim Wyman, WSPY.
Final party guy.
I've been back covering Kendall County Board now for, it'll be 5 years in June. And we started in the fall of 2014 an online newspaper, and we didn't think it was doing very well. And, you know, you'd have to go back and do a radio story after the county board meeting and then do a online newspaper story. So Lord Larry of Nelson was giving us twice the work. And I really realized the newspaper had arrived as one night I'd finished up my county board story and posted it on the online newspaper. And I came out of the station on Fraser Road, and I live in Sandwich, so I went down to Sandy Bluff Road. And just as I made the turn onto Sandy Bluff Road, it was about less than a half mile from the radio station, the phone rang, and it was John Purcell. And John was upset about a word I had used. I don't remember what it was, a word I had used in the story. And I told Lord Larry the next day, I said, you know, I think we've arrived because the county board members are looking at the online newspaper. And of course, the greatest story I ever did here was when John and Heavy Duty were going to go in the back room and duke it out, and Sheriff Baird then brought in the Rock'em Sock'em robots the next week. And of course, I'll never forget the autopsy table that they fought about during budget time coming up to the budget a couple of years ago. And when we were over at Animal Control, I guess it was 2 months ago, the first thing I asked Jackie was, can I see the autopsy table? So John, thank you. Thank you for all the quotes you've given us, the audio tapes. We really appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
That's good.
Anyone else? Mr. Purcell, you care to add anything? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Ms. Vickers?
I know.
It takes me a while to see that.
So I attended meetings for about 6 months while I was campaigning, running, and sat in the back, told Amy, I'm going to hate him. He's the one person I'm going to fight with like crazy. And as I texted you on the night you won, that swear words, I'm going to miss you, because it's turned out I've appreciated your knowledge and your information and helping me learn, and appreciate that there's no dumb questions for the first 2 years. And I hope everybody else gives me that same benefit of the doubt. So I'm going to miss you.
Audrey?
I'm going to clive me with chips and sauces and candy, and I just realized now, I was like, who's going to bring me candy?
Yeah.
So it is kind of, and I'm sure the next person that sits here won't be so quick to bring me candy, so.
That'll be a requirement.
We've argued a lot, but, you know, we joke around a lot, so I'm going to miss him.
Eric? He's been waiting.
My wife had wondered why I was going to the meeting tonight. I said I did have something I had to go, but I said I would miss John's last meeting for probably all the money in the world.
Well, it's $90, Eric.
Yeah, right.
I'm out.
John, you were the last board member on the board from when I took office. So you've been here the entire time I've been state attorney. So I don't know if that's good or bad for either of us, but... I have to say, you were the one person that I have dealt with, that I have disagreed with adamantly. I think the Rock'em Sock'em robots would have probably been appropriate for some other conversations that John and I have had, but at least I knew where you stood. I knew what your position was going to be. Finance, which I know is tough on your end, I've said it before, I did appreciate, and hopefully the next chairman, the phone calls to discuss something before it happens. And I always appreciate that part of your efforts on the council. Even when we were struggling over those numbers, at least we were having those discussions. And the last thing that I leave with was the question you asked me at a chamber dinner when you were running for mayor was, since you're still gonna be my mayor if you win, and I'm still gonna be on the county board if you don't win, which do you hope will happen? I'll refrain from answering that question today, but I wish you the best of luck in the city because I do have a vested interest in the city doing well, and I think you will do well. And I will somehow kind of sort of miss you on the board, by the best I can say to any county board member.
Yeah.
But I will enjoy the conversations we've had over the years. So good luck. Just do the right thing, which I'm sure you will. And if you ever need anything on this side, I guess now we'll be adversaries when it comes to the county and the city. So, and remember, as I've always said, our lawyers are free. So,
I'm very aware of that.
Good luck.
I've already looked at the budget.
Sure you have. Seriously, if you ever need anything, please let us know.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You want to add anything else?
Do I? How much time do you have?
Give you another minute. Take as much time as you want.
So, I was cleaning out my desk, and for those of you who rarely make meetings, I see my mother's out there, so thank you. Actually, a couple of my sisters, my niece, first time they probably ever attended a government meeting in their lives. And this is democracy at its finest. Well, we're the finest, at least. So anyway, this mother is a neat desk. It really is. I've eliminated half the junk already.
Yeah, it is.
With my
recycling.
Well, that's true. I did. Yeah. But I started looking through some of the old stuff on my desk, and I've got a letter here from some person I met when I was out in Washington, D.C. for some function, and who actually said it was nice meeting you. And I don't know what this one is here.
What's the date on it?
This is about something going on in Grundy County. I've got, actually, I was looking through here, Eric. I have a letter. I think I just opened it for the first time. December 1st, 2014, regarding unauthorized 2015 edition of line item to SAO budget. That was a dollar thing, so sorry to get back to you earlier on that one, Eric.
Wow.
I expect nothing more. Expect nothing
wow.
More.
Obviously, I was quite aware, but could you make sure I heard
yeah.
So, and then I go back and I see some pictures somebody took of me with my son. This was at a, don't get offended, ladies, but it was a Republican picnic, but Dick Randall, myself, and my son, who was probably a month at the time. I have a picture here of the original board I served with. Dick Cody, Ed Sleaser, John Church, Marie Bracken, McNeilis at the time, Bill Weichs, Greg O'Neill, Ann Vickery, Jesse Hoffenrichter, Nancy Martin, and then, of course, myself. And I think back to that, and I look back at that. You talk about, Audrey, you talk about the food and everything, the snacks. I think when that thing was taken, I was probably about 165 pounds, and I can tell you, I'm about 60 more than that now. So, Matthew, you watch out. It'll catch up to even the young guys. Because I was about your age that you are now when I started. So I look back at some of these things, and Scott, I was thinking, you know, the same thing about that Safari Marcus and I came campaigning, and that was over half my life ago. That was, you know, I was 25 years old when I first started running, and I ran, I think, four times before I won. And I thought I recognized that tie, because you still haven't cleaned that tomato
sauce. Yeah, I know. still there.
The same one. And then Amy, you know, you mentioned how we would battle on issues, and I just like to think that was just, you know, you were still learning, and, you know, it just took you a while sometimes to come around to the right side of things, the right side, of course, as I like to say. Eric, I think I have a dollar or two for that.
I was going to hand you a dollar, but I figured something
And Jim Wyman, I'm impressed you remember that conversation we had about that error in your news story. Somebody asked me very recently, and I won't say who it was out there, are you a little bit nervous about the criticism you're going to take as mayor? And my response was to that person out there, I'm not worried about the criticism other than you reading it to me on Facebook, so quit the bad stuff, Jim. I know it actually won't be you in the future. And then Matt Kellogg, That's a good story. I had never heard that story. If I had, I probably had forgotten it. But it reminds me of a similar story when my wife and I, we weren't married, we were just dating at the time, and we were at the Friendly Tap in Plano, and similar circumstance. There was a person over there, and we just started talking, and I said, oh, what's that drink? That looks pretty good. I started drinking the person's drink, and my, you know, we had a couple sentences of conversation, so it wasn't just I grabbed it, and my wife now, she couldn't believe I did that. I said, I'll buy them another drink. So that, even though that is just...
It's your MO.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the way I work sometimes.
I'll just be moving my coffee now.
And I like to think, Matt, that you're like my little Padawan or whatever they call those, and I'm your Jedi. I'm training you for the finance, so you keep a tight hold on that money. And Todd, you know, Todd, you made some comments too, and I wish, and I looked and looked, and I really thought this was it, but Todd, when we were talking about some landfill, I don't know if it was a landfill or what the heck it was, one of the places where they deposit the yard waste, and Todd, you were insistent that it was supposed to be 3 or 4 inches or something like that, and you came up to me with, I think it was maybe yardstick, maybe it was ruler, and you had the color down there. This is 3 or 4 inches or whatever the ordinance said, and you handed it right to me, and I really thought this was the ruler, but shows how often I clean the desk. This is not that ruler, Todd. Oh, it says Nancy Martin.
No.
Oh. Oh, here you go, if you're Nancy.
I've had that for a long time.
Oh, have you? It's good, you probably slapped down the rest of
the I've been missing it. So is the other ruler his, then?
And Judy, speaking of the school teacher days, you very often are correcting me when I'm out of line, or mostly when I'm just out of turn.
Given that look that she's got.
She's giving me that look now. So I had my 6-year-old, will just say, she's a doll, but boy, she's a spitfire. That's just probably a nice way to put it. And we get calls from the school, quite frankly. Heck, the first day of school, she tried running out of school, and they had a tell us afterwards. In fact, they shot an email, because when we asked the kids how the first day of school was, not one of the kids mentioned that she tried running out of school. But I think to myself, and I've had some of my brothers-in-law tell me this too, you're going to get what you deserve. And so that's a little bit of what I deserve. When my kids don't listen to me, I think, that Judy went through that for how many years as a teacher, and you thought you were done, and here you are dealing with me. Well, no longer, Judy. And Matthew, I really think, as much hell as I give you, you really dig into stuff. You really do. And then, as I told you, we got an issue later on the agenda, some of the zoning stuff. And I appreciate the way you dig into that. And I still think, I was thinking about having business cards for you made up, and I didn't. But I really think you should become a lobbyist. I think you would be an excellent lobbyist for the state of Illinois. You know more people in the state of Illinois than I do here in New Yorkville. And so I think you should consider that for a career. For whatever that advice is, you can have it. It's free. And Robin, I may regret saying this, but I told you this earlier today. Just remember, you're going to miss me, but just remember, you're elected to make decisions. So
you are going to regret that.
So I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to get to know each other better, but remember, we did talk on election night. When you first were elected.
Yes,
And you texted me as well. So I'm truly going to miss everyone here. And I am really grateful my family came today because, again, I don't think they've ever come to a meeting before. I remember stories. And mother, I'm going to pick on you again. I'm sorry. But my mother, I remember many times running for county board. And she knew this time that I won for mayor. So talk about a crown, Todd. She's got a crown that she's been wearing. So, but when I would run for county board, many times she'd call me a couple days later, did you win or not? Yeah, I won. She really did. And it's true. I'm not making it up. And then finally, as I mentioned the last meeting, you know, my mother, she gifted the same shirt to my father 2 years in a row for Easter, and he never took it out of the box. And I'm still thinking that last meeting I had a shirt that she bought me, but I'm not sure, she might have bought me this shirt too. I'm not quite positive if it was my mother or my wife, and I know, Jackie, you're going to tell me don't say that, but I think my mother might have bought me this shirt. Yeah. So, and I think these shoes too, they were probably a gift. My mother's great about trying to dress me up. And It's like I'm from little school boy or something. So
I thought you only had Ace Hardware red, you know, pullovers, right. You know, until the last couple of meetings you're pulling out the old
I seriously
new stuff,
was
I guess.
Considering running a tux for tonight, but I just couldn't.
The Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
Well, then I thought it would be one of those T-shirts with the tux tie on it. And Debbie, you're not getting out of this either. So, Debbie, actually, I appreciated working with you on the budget because I never had a battle with you. I loved it. It was wonderful. I battled with everyone, but Debbie was just so easygoing. She said, yeah, I can look at it. And she come back, yeah, I can do that for you. So
I used to like to wait for you to come talk to me. I'd say, ooh, I'm not going to change my budget till John comes. And make you talk to me. Gravel a little bit.
I usually enjoyed going in there because I knew always in your room there was always some cookies or something.
Yeah, we have snacks.
Yeah, so, and again, as I mentioned, when this picture was taken, I was probably 165, 170 pounds. And I haven't been there in, well, 18 and
take,
a half
take
years.
A look at the website in the next week or so while your picture's still up there. That's the original.
This is the shirt. It was taken that same day. Okay. I'm pretty sure that's the shirt. I could be wrong. Yeah, I didn't have much hair then, but more than I do now.
I was going to say, slightly more.
Yeah, and hell, I think that I wore that shirt to the last meeting. No, I'm just kidding. So, anyway, I appreciate this resolution that I got to make the motion for. That was so nice. I am truly, it's bittersweet. I am going to miss the county, but I'm looking forward to the next, you know, the next chapter, the next book in my elected career.
Well, thank you again, and I'd like to ask Jackie and family if you would all come up to the front here for a minute. And while you're doing that, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
I think we need a roll
call. Maybe a roll call? Let's do a roll call on that.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
So you're lucky your family came. Yes. I would have never believed that we had such praise.
Motion carries. Thank you. Now we got a couple of things we'd like to present to you.
Oh, that's not it. Not it.
No, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
If you go to the mayor's office now, you get.
So one is a framed copy of the proclamation you just read.
Oh, nice.
And then we have a thank you for your service, John Purcell, Kendall County Board Member, District 1. Appreciation of over 18 years of service and dedication to the Kendall County Board, citizens, elected officials, department heads, and employees of Kendall County, Illinois, from December 1st, 2000 to May 14th, 2019, presented this May 7th, 2019, to the Kendall County Board, which they didn't put your name on there.
Yeah, whatever.
But that's all right.
Well, thank you.
You're
yes,
welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. And you know, I didn't offer any words for the two people who aren't here. But I guess they're not here to get my praise. So.
I know.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
This is the financial advisor, wise counsel. The client's interests are king. To build and protect your wealth, that's John Purcell.
You don't want me in this picture?
Yeah,
you know. No.
Everybody
she's like,
everybody. So this is not my ex, this is my love. Can you get us all, or do I need to? You want me to step out so they can all fit? Oh, yeah, you are so my mother.
Yeah. Did you do that for me?
Well, thank you very much. That's outstanding.
Thank you.
No, you give me a hug.
You're going to put that in your office now at the city.
I know, I get an office. It's pretty awesome.
So there are some snacks and some other things we'll do upstairs, but we're going to go into public comment first, and then after that we'll take a short break. So public comment, Is anyone who'd like to say anything on county business? Okay, let the come on up. And you'll have 5 minutes. Just say your name for the record, please.
Todd Warren, Yorkville. 1728's on the agenda tonight. That's been a work in progress. The 17 means it started in 2017. Began with the citizens in the southern part of the county who were experiencing projectiles coming across their property near their homes from the Delaney Gun Range. That led to a moratorium so we could get this ordinance we got now. And the last board was not able to get it over the finish line, and rightfully so. It's very close. I think several other citizens are going to talk about some of the things that are still incomplete. I'll leave that up to them. I still advocate and continue to do so for mapping of the existing gun ranges we have, so that they're on the GIS system, so new citizens or people wanting to buy in an area that's nearby one of those, that information is readily available and they're informed. And we already have a map that's pretty close. I call it the 2017 GIS map, or permitted gun ranges. That easily could be put on our website. It's already done. The Delaney site is still on there. It's an unpermitted site, but that's about the only revision that map would need to be done, and possibly could be included as part of this ordinance. So the interesting thing is that the township's weighed in on this, and it's going to take a supermajority vote. That's 75% of the existing board, which means 8 board members. So if this is going forward tonight, it's going to take a unanimous vote to get it over the finish line. So I'm interested to see how this transpires, because we're missing 2 board members who would be critical to the debate and also possibly casting the needed vote to approve or the vote to object and send it back to committee again. So without further ado, I'll let some other citizens talk about their concerns, but I still advocate for the map. Some of the changes I advocated for have been done. The bonding part was something that it was my idea, and that got put in there, so thank you for that.
Thank you. And Trooper Dave Schneider, I know you had a tight time frame, and thanks for sticking around during our presentation there. But
I enjoyed the dialogue with the board members.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is David Schneider. I'm the captain at District 5, Illinois State Police. District 5, just a quick background. We serve the counties of Will, Grundy, and Kendall County. And our headquarters and range, outdoor range, is located at Route 53 and Division Streets, right there at the intersection. It's an outdoor range next to the oldest state police facility in the state, 1936, circa. So it should be in a museum, but it's not. We're still in there. Let me just say that the state police has always enjoyed and continues to enjoy a great relationship, working relationship with the Kendall County Sheriff's Department. And as you know or have seen probably in the media and recent reports, our staffing levels are super low, probably the lowest they've been now in 25 years. And, you know, the tale of woe is we rely on our other agencies, county and municipal agencies, to assist us all the time, for sure. And I'm here just to maybe clarify or put to rest any controversy about the addition to adding other agencies, law enforcement agencies, to our ranges, to our range to use it. I had a conversation with Sheriff Baird. He had asked me about the potential for the Kendall County Sheriff's Department to come into our rotation schedule and shoot at our range. And at this time, unfortunately, we're not able to take on any additional agencies due to the overwhelming number that we have now. We have right under 100 law enforcement agencies that shoot there. Basically, 7 days a week, there's training classes, sometimes up to 20 hours a day. And we could just cannot accommodate that at this time. I've been the commander there since June of 2018. And since that point, there's a chain of command that has to be followed. So if an agency wants to apply or wants to inquire about shooting at our range, they have to fill out the application. It goes to our senior range master, who's a trooper, Trooper Keith Malik, who would eventually get the information, get the dates, the schedules, the number of personnel that would be shooting and so on, and submit that, and then it would come to the district commander, which is me. So the district commander has the final authority and the final approval or the say-so for adding or deleting any agencies from using our outdoor facility. So I just wanted to make sure that the board was clear on that. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come in and make sure that we clarify that in case there's any misunderstanding from any other members of the public.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Is there any questions I can answer from you folks? Or
I don't think so.
No, I think that answers our questions.
Thank you.
So
thank
you. And I apologize for calling you trooper and not captain.
Sorry.
it's kind of like my Peter.
Peter's worse.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else who would like to comment, come up? And you have 5 minutes, if you just say your name for the record as well.
Sure.
My name is Jeremy Porter. I live across the river from the Kendall County Sheriff Shooting Range or the Railroad Shooting Range, whatever it's being called. I've lived there for about 12 years, and during that period of time, I've heard automatic gunfire, high-caliber weapons being discharged, explosive devices, probably Tannerite. I do understand there are several shooting ranges in that immediate vicinity. So recently I did a little research on that gun range, and I pulled it up online, and I was surprised at what I saw. You know, such a short range being utilized for high power weapons. I did have some correspondence today with Sheriff Baird. He indicated that they do fire pistols, 223 ARs and 308 rounds. And I just wanted to bring some information in and demonstrate to the board what kind of range you're talking about with those weapons, both ricochet and overshooting the berm, and how far those bullets are coming into the campground right down range from that range, as well as subdivision. So I don't know how best to give you this information.
Is it just a hand? Is a
there's
handout?
There's a few handouts here. I brought five of them.
If you could just hand it over to Ms. Vickers, and then she can pass it around to us.
Sure. So a surface danger zone, also called an SDZ, is an area downrange from any weapons facility. That is exactly what it says it is. It's a danger to be in that area. You know, so the first page is just a little bit of an explanation of what an SDZ is. The second slide is called a batwing SDZ, okay? And it's a little hard to understand what it is, but the little red dot in the bottom center is actually the point where the weapon's being fired, and the little red arrow is the intended target, okay? Now, in most cases, the vast majority of the projectiles end up in the backstop, but this is an actual test that was done by the military that shows the bullets and bullet fragments that ended up in that entire area, you know, that's probably 20 or 30 times the distance of the range. The third page is a batwing SDZ applied from the point of origin of the Kendall County shooting range, and there are various ammunitions indicated, okay? So 12 gauge shotgun being the shortest, okay? 45 caliber handgun and 9mm handgun are almost reaching the campground facility, okay? A 5.56 rifle, okay, is extending across Van Emmon Road, and a 7.62, it's also a 308, is reaching 126. Okay, so I just wanted to provide that information. The final slide is a depiction of, in yellow, it's actually the railroad property. The green line is the length of the range, and the red silhouette is the area that that bullets can expect it to be found and impacting in. Okay, so a huge area covering some pretty highly populated areas of Yorkville. Yesterday, Sunday, May 5th, I listened to automatic gunfire for several hours. Okay, fully automatic, not semi-automatic. I'm very clear with what the two are. Okay, and I listened to explosions, probably Tannerite. Okay, in the discussions I had today with Sheriff Baird, there was no authorized users on that range that day. However, somebody is in there with Class 3 restricted firearms, maybe not on their range. I mean, I've got to believe what he's telling me, but this really needs to be looked at. This really is a public health hazard. Okay, I have no problem. I mean, I think I think law enforcement should be trained. I think they should have a place to train, but I do feel that it should be a safe and secure place and not put the public in danger.
Thank you.
Any questions?
This isn't a back and forth. Yeah. It's just the opportunity for you to talk to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, can we
hang on. Figure out, yeah. Yes?
Can we have Sheriff Baird come up to ask him a couple questions? What he talked about, or not?
Well, this is the public comment portion first, so let's do that first, and then we'll have an opportunity to talk to the sheriff. Say your name for the record. You also have 5 minutes.
Chris Pollack from Kendall County. I think after the last gentleman appearing and with when that Proposition 1909 was proposed, over 30 emails that the county received from people asking you to vote no on that my family is not the only family that has concerns over what's been going on in that area along Route 71. But I'm here today about 1728, just a couple things I believe should be amended before your vote today. One of the things is, when we talk about safety, is the berming. Berming should not replace fencing. I think that when you talk about berms at a range, berms only go around usually three sides and not even entirely on all three sides. So there needs to be a limit to anyone that could access that area there. And that's what a fence would do, and that's what most normal ranges, especially police-operated ranges, have around their berming. The second thing is when we talk about paragraph V, existing commercial ranges should be exempt. I think it still needs to be written that only legally established, according to law, existing gun ranges that are legally permitted are exempt or grandfathered in from this. So I think that's a huge thing, because there are only six existing commercial ranges on the Kendall County commercial gun range map, plus one site down in Lisbon for the sheriff's gun range that was zoned in back in 2013 for their new range. All of the ranges don't legally exist at this time besides what you recognize on your own map. So I'm not sure why you wouldn't want to put that in there in case there's any commercial gun ranges operating at this time without a permit. That way they wouldn't be exempt from that. Paragraph F also, I still think that you should change the distance from 1,000 to 1,500 feet. And the hours of shooting, especially when it comes to winter time, hours 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., from April 1st to September 30th seems fair, and then 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. from October 1st through March 30th because of the time change and the lighting restrictions. And that would be it. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Just say your name for the record. You also have 5 minutes.
My name is Clayton Chilvers. In regards to all this shooting range and everything else, I know that our range has been there for 60 years. There has been absolutely no incidents whatsoever. Barbara Green, I can't talk for them, but there, from what I understand, from what I've talked to the people known there, there's been no incidents. There's been no incidents from the police station, from the police down there. I've heard that we've had drunken teenage parties at our club. It's been said at this meeting, this is not true. It is no how true. I hold the key. Nobody can get in there except for another member, an owner, okay? And our wives ain't allowed in there. Our daughters ain't allowed in there, and our sons ain't allowed in there unless we are there on the property, okay? I just think that this is kind of getting a little out of hand because, like I say, we're a safe club. Everybody wants to be safe. Nobody wants to be sending stuff out there or anything of the sort, okay? I mean, that's crazy that, you know, you think that we're just out there just going crazy with our guns, you know, and sending stuff out. That's not true. Yes, they can travel far. We have berming. I've been at Barbara Green. They have the berming. They have the trees, you know, and other things there that, you know, help with it. As far as the noise level goes, I did a little checking on Sunday. I decided I'd go down about a half mile away from our gun club, and I sat there, okay? And, you know, I heard a few pops, you know, I heard the pops, you know, not loud, but, you know, I could hear the pops, so I'm just sitting there in my truck, and this and that and the other. But meanwhile, I had Harley Davidson screaming by, pipes blowing, you know, and everything else, semi-trucks whining down through there, which are far more offensive than what our gunfire even starts to be. So, you know, you're going to have noise. We all got to live together. We kind of need to stop this and quit arguing. And the safety factors, I think we've been pretty safe. I mean, if you sit there and you look at no incidents at our club for 60-some years, the other club no incidents for 60-some years, and the police, you know, the police firing range no incidents, I just don't see the call of alarm, you know. I mean, we all want to be safe there. Nobody wants anything to happen, you know what I mean? And we do regulate the guys. We keep track of the guys. Everything, you know what I mean? We all police each other at our club, you know, and there's really no reason why, because we're not, you know, we're all a bunch of old guys. But, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. And as far as, I was at the club all day on Sunday, and I was standing around. The police range from our place is probably about, I don't know, third of a mile, something like that. I never heard no automatic fire. I never heard no Tannerite going off. So I don't know at what point in time this went. You know, it was happening, but it wasn't why I was there. And I was there until almost 5 o'clock I was there. So that's all I got to say. And thanks for listening.
Thank you. Come on up and just say your name for the record. And you also have 5 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Priscilla Gruber. I know the board and the committees have worked on this 17-28 proposal for commercial gun ranges for almost 2 years. I've only been following it since last June, and that's been a lot of work, even on my end. So I know you've worked very hard on it, and I appreciate that. You've listened to all sides. You've written and rewritten the proposal with two different boards and two different PBZ chairs, and I think committee members somewhat too changed after the election. So it's been a long road. But I hope you will finish the job. And I suggest a couple of amendments that I'd still like to see happen before you vote tonight. And that would be, the first one would be to provide reasonable hours for the discharge of the weapons at these ranges that are going to be in our neighborhoods. these powerful weapons do cause what I describe as war zone level disturbance to people living nearby. And I have experienced this myself in my own home, so I speak from actual knowledge. With the windows and doors closed, the noise was loud enough to echo throughout the house, making usual home activities like reading, talking and listening on the phone, asking or trying to get my grandchildren to pay attention and concentrate on their homework, for example, pretty much impossible to do. I cannot imagine trying to see the baby to sleep, caring for an ill family member, or saying a prayer with that level of noise in my home. So that's what we're talking about. And I ask you to keep that in mind when you're thinking about setting hours for these outdoor commercial gun ranges here, and that you'll make it livable for our families in this beautiful part of the world. I would suggest 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. would be reasonable hours for a neighborhood. In fact, these are going to be neighborhoods. And maybe adjusted for winter and summer a little bit if that's reasonable. And that would balance the need for people to have commercial gun ranges and also people to live in the county with some kind of quality of life. Also, I'd like to see the fencing all around, as the other person mentioned, and not have berms substitute for fencing because they don't do the same job. Berms are for absorbing bullets, as I understand, and fencing is to keep people out. Also, I'd like to have 1,500 foot as the buffer zone, which is only 1,000 now. When I heard the shooting that I was describing, it was about 1,800 feet away from my home. And I also suggest that we exempt those ranges in existence today, or at the time the ordinance would be passed, that have been established under whatever the law was at the time, and with special use permits if they were available, and so that it wouldn't grandfather in or exempt somebody's range that's out there that didn't do that. So those are my suggestions, and I hope you keep that in mind. And, you know, I think you can make an ordinance that promotes the welfare of all of us in this county, and we'll be proud of it. So I'm asking you to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Say your name for the record, and you also have 5 minutes.
Zach Barnwell, Plano, Illinois. Also, speaking on 1728, I realize many people on this board, past boards, the Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee are probably getting tired of this one, but a couple things I'd like to comment on about some of our previous public comments. The thought of including all of the ranges in Kendall County on our GIS maps is, in my opinion, a waste of county resources, time, effort. We don't list any other businesses other than some agriculture, or I'm sorry, not ag zoning. We do list ag zoning, but mining zoning on the GIS through the zoning map on the GIS maps. Why businesses would be singled out if they weren't a zoning restriction seems obscure and kind of pointless in my opinion. If you're a homeowner looking to purchase property in Kendall County, it's your obligation to do your homework on what's around you. I live in Lakewood. I know Jovic is moving from Sandwich to the entrance of my neighborhood, and part of that is good motivation for me to leave. But that's a whole different story. Not grandfathering the current clubs in the county, Knollwood, Barbara Green, Twin Ponds, clubs all right there along 71, all surround the range the Kendall County Sheriff's Office uses that's actually federal property, would essentially shut down all of our shooting sports. Not a single one of those clubs has property available to them within that 1,000 feet restriction between a residence or another, any residential zoned area, and would basically probably take half of our membership out of every club and make them want to leave. To the one gentleman's comments about rounds being fired toward houses, and I understand the, I forget what it's actually called, the safety easement or whatever, as you will. All three of those clubs have some pretty heavy tree coverage, you know, especially this time of year, leaves coming through all summer. Most of those clubs, I know Barbara Green, I sit on the board there as a member. We have restricted hours during winter hunting seasons for our rifle and pistol ranges, as well as our shotgun range. So it's a very short window of time, about 4 hours throughout the day. Whatever was going on over in that area on May 5th, I can tell you per the Barbara Green Hunting and Fishing Club rifle and pistol range rules, we have expressly banned explosive targets like Tannerite. I know there are a couple other types out there, but we had some members that were questionable on using some of that, and we as a club decided we were not allowing that. Same thing with binary triggers or bump stocks, which were recently federally banned, if I remember correctly. Does sound like automatic fire. There's still a pretty big difference. You can get one of those to fire very quickly, but automatic firearms are illegal in the state of Illinois, so that was, as far as I know, no one at Knollwood, certainly no one at Barbara Green, and I highly doubt it was anyone at Twin Ponds as well.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is there each other? No further comments? And we'll take a 10-minute break. Thank you.
Being back to order.
Oh my God, who bought this?
You got it. John.
The next item up is executive session. Is there any need for that at this time? Good answer. Old business, may have a motion to approve a resolution requesting the Kendall County State's Attorney enter into settlement agreement for the payment of interest attributable to delinquent taxes in Yorkville SSA 2004-107.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Sesich, seconded by Hendricks. Discussion.
I can start.
All right, Mr. Weiss, lead us off here.
The individuals are here to represent council or president, so if you have some specific questions. This is very similar with slight modifications to what we did with the Plano SSA.
They can't hear you back there. Can you talk into your mic better? Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
No.
Nope.
Can you hear me now?
Sorry.
I'm a little small.
Your legal guy, not your tech guy.
Okay.
Wow.
Eric, would you like me to speak for you?
You can speak for me, John, on the last day. That'd be great. It's very similar to what we did with the Plano SSA. A little bit different as far as timing, but the same requirements. This is a issue that you have negotiated with the property owners and the developer who are purchasing the property. These numbers reflect the numbers that you're asking me to take to the court and ask for an agreed settlement, which is part of the order, to be entered. That is at your request. This is not at my request to do so. I'm just making the same caveats and the same explanations that I did with Plano, that if you chose to not do that, then I'm not going to do it on my own. This is not something that I came up with. This has been a request to find a legal way to resolve what's become a very difficult issue to deal with based on the amounts that are due owing and the fact that development may be stymied because of that. Again, I express no opinion on whether or not this should pass. It is not my issue. I will do the will of the board. If you pass the resolution, then we'll take the settlement orders and we'll start entering those here in the very near future. I did receive in my packet today the sign off by the owners and developer, because of this one is a little bit different. There's an owner that is not going to be the same person that's going to eventually buy the properties, but both parties have signed off on that. So the concern that we originally had was how to bind someone who is not really the owner. That has been eliminated through discussions over the last probably 5-6 days. We've been having those discussions back and forth with our office and council. So from my end, the concerns have been addressed. Again, I don't speak for the numbers or whether you should or shouldn't do it. Just so my caveat is clear, and then you can ask whatever questions, probably more for the requesters than for me, but if you have questions, I'm happy to answer.
This is not in our packet, is it?
It was sent to email.
Right. Yeah, I saw the email.
We were literally working on that literally this afternoon, I know at that point, and going back and forth trying to get documents.
Okay.
But no, it was not. I don't believe it was included in the packet, because I know we just
okay.
got it ourselves.
I asked Mr. Campbell about this. The $500,000, and who negotiated that number? Because I don't recall that the board voted on to approve that number. And I know that's in the thing that we're going to vote on now, but I mean, how did that number ever get decided upon? Who decided it for the board?
Well, I don't think that's what we're voting on. So we haven't decided it for the board yet. That's the number that we came to, and so
that's what they agreed to.
Right, it's what they were able to agree to. So the original number. Amy, you may recall.
I think when they first started coming back in December, was a little like 1.9 million. By the time we got into when I became on the board, it then became 2.5 million. So those penalties and fees go up. So I think when they originally came to, I believe, Chairman Greider, I don't know that they were looking to pay anything at that point, and those discussions then ended. They did come back then and say, okay, well, we really want to do this. This is a good thing for Yorkville. This is a good thing for the county. Where can we kind of get? We're going to do something for the schools. We're doing all of these things for the city of Yorkville, the community. So what can we do with the county to get us where we need to be?
I mean, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
When you say we, so who, you were obviously involved with it, but who?
Right.
Who?
When I'm saying we, they're saying themselves. How do we get to where we want to be? So when they contacted Chairman Greider, he called me and said, "Would you want to sit in on this, you know, meeting with this group?" And also, Mr. Purcell was in on that meeting as well.
Did it go to the finance committee, or was it through finance?
Because it was something that they had to agree to, and we. I think, you know, as far as Scott and I, you know, felt that if they were willing to do this, then that's something. They weren't going to negotiate with us back and forth. It was more of, you know, what can we do? Where can we be to get to this point that we can come in and build again?
Mr. Purcell?
Judy, to answer your question, did not go to the Finance Committee. We discussed it, I think, with Cal twice.
Yep.
Twice. Did not run to the Finance Committee.
So it just came through you and Mr. Greider
and then we brought it up at Cal.
Yeah, a couple of meetings ago, we started with maybe 50 grand or 100 grand last August, and then they came back in December. The number that came out of the December meeting was 550.
I think it's 550.
Mm-hmm.
We talked so many times on what the numbers, but from there we sent it to the Cal, or actually the chairman sent it to the Cal.
Yeah, the other one would have come to the Cal as well. The Raintree, but they didn't talk to me and ended up on the finance.
Lakewood.
I'm sorry, the Lakewood one. So that I was trying to be consistent or wanted to be consistent, but they talked to you ahead of me or something and ended up on the agenda.
Yes, it was Mr. Kepler, you might be helping, but I believe it was on the finance agenda the same day as the Plano one was, but we discussed it at Cal prior to that finance meeting. But it was not a recommendation from finance. That's
Mr. Kellogg.
Okay. Question on it's on page 4 of the agreement, number 25. It says that in order for the forfeiture interest to cease accruing pursuant to statute, is that only interest due on the past payments? It says 11 through 2017. So if they were to fall behind, they would still continue to accrue in the future? I just want to make sure I'm reading
yes,
that correctly.
That's correct.
Okay. And then of the $550,000, I'm coming up with that's 21% of what is, as of this date, was due. How does that percent compare? And maybe we have to ask someone to the percent that the group in Plano paid of their fees. I know.
I won't have that. I'd have to go back and research.
On the parcels.
Exactly.
This is much lower, or? Yeah.
I, you know, whether
we're just trying to be fair with this.
I think that's
it's
a good
more
question.
Parcels.
But it's lower. It's a lower percentage. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I understand your concerns.
No, we set a precedence with that one, and they eliminated the SSA, and this doesn't. So there's differences, but that's one I struggle with.
Fair concern.
Does the petitioner, or the, I don't know what I call you.
I call the petitioner, too. I can't think of what else they are.
Yeah. No, thank you again. This is, I think, our third time here before you on this issue, twice at the Cal meeting and then tonight. And, again, the Lennar Group, Cal Atlantic, is offering the $550,000 to the county, which is a substantial sum of money. And I realize it's different. The percentage is maybe lower than some of the other ones, but I think every deal needs to be judged on its own merits. And the SSA in this case is somewhat different than in the other cases, and so are the, you know, the costs that are associated with the city. I don't have all those numbers, but they're all different. Each case is different. It should be judged as such. We presented to you the chart of all the dollars going to all the taxing districts that were in the millions of dollars if we're able to develop this subdivision. So there is a lot of value added. There's also, let's remember back to the last Cal meeting we were at, the representative from the Homeowners Association was here, talked to you about all the benefits of the Homeowners Association would receive if this can get approved and the property can get developed, more people sharing in their dues, more people sharing in the improvements that need to be made, stop the denigration of the property, make sure that it's kept up and it will be good and add to the overall value of the area. The city of Yorkville has approved it. There has been, you know, a commitment made by Lennar at the last committee of the whole meeting for an extra $200 per unit for the school district. The school district has taken a look at it. They posed no objections. We don't have to go to the school board. There's been a substantial amount of money already paid to the school district from this development, and there are more fees that are coming. So, you know, I think you would agree that overall it's a good deal for the county, and we'd really like to see this begin to move. I'd like to thank the state's attorney for all their work helping us through this, the county board, and also the county administration. So we're asking for your positive vote tonight and hope that we can move this along, get this property back on the tax rolls, move it forward, help out the Homeowners Association and everybody in the area.
Ms. Purcell.
He did bring up a good point that is a little bit different than Plano. I'd say in favor of this one versus Plano. There's pros and cons are different. But they did pledge some additional dollars to the school, whether it was directly to the school or through the school foundation.
The foundation.
The foundation, yes. Which obviously benefits the school, you know, maybe indirectly. Those are above the dollars that they were required to do. And I think, aren't you also funding some of the, partially funding some of the school fees up front as well? So, I can't tell you it's perfect, but.
If you could say your name for the record.
I can tell you it was a 7-1 vote for the city council, and I'm a support.
Yeah, Rick Murphy from Lennar Homes. Yeah, as part of the development, the development donated the school site, prepaid at final plat. Half the school impact fees, the rest will get paid at permit. And so there's, I don't remember the numbers exactly. Scott probably got them on the head, but it's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So Scott Gerard with Lennar. So, you know, the site has already generated about $1.279 million to the school. They're going to get an additional $579,000 in fees as well. Remember, the school also, you know, the site was planned for a school. There's a large middle school on the site as well. We were also working with the city to kind of fix some of the deficiencies within the project. They had taken the bonds on and they didn't have enough money to finish. So we're going to support that and finish that up for them as well. And then we're also going to prepay some of those fees to the tune of about $350,000, I believe, is what the number is up front to the city.
Right, plus a donation of complete a park site of $93,000, $135,000 for a shortfall for public improvements. And as Scott said, prepaid the development fees after closing, but before a permit, which is when they'd normally be due, you know, one at a time. So,
Mrs. Gilmore.
Well, you know, I know you're
you know, you have donated some money to the school district, but it's really a drop in the bucket, and that's what really worries me about this. It's going to be a big impact on our school system, and I know it's going to help the homeowners in Raintree, and it's going to bring some tax money into the county, but as far as the school district is concerned, if we're talking 366 houses with two children per house, that's over 700 kids. That's two schools.
Yeah, but sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
What you're offering is generous, but it isn't really nearly enough. When you look at what it costs to educate a child in the Yorkville School District, it's going to be thousands of dollars, and millions of dollars. And so really what is going on here is we're asking all of the homeowners, all the taxpayers in the Yorkville School District to take this burden on, and I don't like that.
I want to remind everyone that, I mean, these are fully developed sites. I mean, these were contemplated back in 1999 when this was first entitled. That's why there's a 20-acre middle school on the site, and if you want to count per acreage, I mean, there's yet another very large donation that this site has made towards Yorkville Schools. When we did meet with Dr. Shimp, his response to us was he's not opposed to it. They just got to figure out if they're one high school town or two high school town. But we offered to speak in front of the school board. We offered to have those discussions with them, and they elected not to have those with us, and he said, go ahead and move forward. That's essentially what happened with the schools. So again, if it was a new site that we're coming in and we're developing that they haven't had a chance to plan for and everything else, that would be one thing. But again, these are already built, developed, and sitting there, and they were, you know, contemplated many, many years ago to the school district.
Ms. Hendricks?
I read a report, I think I might have mentioned it to you, Judy, about 3 months ago, and I don't want to say that I'm necessarily opposed to this. I want us to have a robust discussion about it, but we're already, as you know, paying exorbitant taxes to fund our schools, and even so, on average, our students are funded $1,000 less per student than the state's average already. So when Judy says that the donations that you're giving are a drop in the bucket, she's not kidding, because we're already short by millions for each school, right? It's not a funny gap that we're meeting. So I think that really does need some serious consideration. I live in Yorkville as well. I have a child who's in school. My property taxes are like making another mortgage payment, and that's not an exaggeration. So I appreciate your position, but I want you to understand we're already grossly underfunded, and we're looking at building properties that are going to add to that burden and cannot make up for that gap in just the property taxes, because we're already short. So that's what this kerfuffle is about. Again, I'm not necessarily opposed, but the situation she's talking about is quite serious. Quite serious. It's crippling. So maybe there's a reconsideration to be made there.
I would love to reconsider with our fees, but again, this is a little bit different than the Plano deal. I mean, there's the landowner, there's the bond owners, and then there's the city of Yorkville, and then there's the county. There's only so much to be had. You know, we've been balancing this thing. I think I started work on this on December of 17. I mean, so we're doing everything we can to try to balance and meet everyone's needs that we can, but at the end of the day, it still has, I mean, we're business. It has to be an investment. I have to get it through to the CEO, so I can come up here and promise more, but I won't get it approved, and the deal will never go forward. As to Amy's point of view, our point, and Mr. Griders is originally, you know, we were anticipating hopefully paying nothing, and that's only because in the past in some of these other deals, that's what we've had to pay. These counties have wanted these things off their books and have gone through there, and then, you know, to go back to that discussion, then we came back at 100 and again no. So we went back, sharpened the pencils as much as we can, but when I tell you that performa is like dipping at the bottom right now, I mean, that's the number. I mean, it's $550,000 is what we can do. And again, the school district's going to get another $579,000 through the generation of the permits that are coming out of here. We are going to donate to the school foundation. And again, you know, every development, when it goes through the planning process, you know, you meet with the school boards, you meet with all these governing bodies, and they start to plan things out. And again, I keep bringing it up, there's a middle school on the site. So it was contemplated. It wasn't like this thing's off in the corner somewhere and it just kind of got eaten up by the school district and all of a sudden these kids are coming in. You know, this thing was literally entitled in 1999, 20 years ago. So, you know, and the question needs to be asked too is, what happens if we don't go forward with the deal? What happens to that infrastructure? What happens to those sites? You know, again, and I want to reiterate this, to my knowledge, we are the only people who have successfully done these things in the market. We've done five of them. That's it. There's some large players in this market. We have a lot of national builders in this marketplace. There's at least five or six. And no one will touch the SSAs because it is brain damage, as you guys are well aware, as you guys have been listening to these presentations here. It is a very difficult situation to have. You're literally, we're taking on the risk of bonds, essentially, and we're carrying those bonds for 7 years, 8 years, whatever it takes. That's a risk on us. So not only are we buying the land, but then we're buying this big chunk of bonds over here. It's not like we're selling, you know, right away. We're not doing anything. We're that's just part of the input on it. So, you know, again, I said the same thing at the city council. I'll say it again. I mean, you know, this is really the best shot in a sense that, you know, we are the guys. We're the ones who've successfully done it. We've gone through there. And again, if you want to look at the nationals that are in here, you have the two largest builders in the country in here. We're one of them. The other one has never touched a deal like this. You know, you've got probably, I think you got four of the top five builders in the country. None of them have touched a deal like this. A private guy can't do that because what happens is, even if they're able to, you know, they're able to buy the land, all right, and they still got to pay the bond payments, and you go buy those bonds. You know, if you don't buy the bonds and you just try to do the deal with the bondholders, you're going to have to pay an SSA at every single one of those units. So 366 units times $2,400 every single year. It blows up a performer. There is no return to be had. Your money gets sucked in. At least when you're buying the bonds, you're paying yourself, essentially. So that's how the deal works. You know, so it's a very complicated, very difficult situation that, again, in the 12 years, 15 years since the economy kind of crashed, you know, there's a reason why these are still out there. I mean, this is a beautiful town. Honestly, Raintree with the middle school, with the clubhouse, I mean, that's a great community. And no offense to some of the other communities in the marketplace, in Yorkville, that is a dynamite spot, but yet it's the last one sitting there because of all the issues with the bonds. So again, if we could pay more, we would. But we've got four different entities or hurdles that we've had to deal with here over the last year and a half to make this work.
Ms. Vickers?
So remind me, I think we talked about when this was first titled, there were impact fees that were paid to the district, and you gave a number that's already been paid. So
yep.
That was paid on these 366 lots as well, correct?
The amount of money to the schools to date that have been paid out there is $1.279 million. Those have been paid, yes. And I don't have the exact totals of all the houses, but yeah, any house that was built in there would have generated those fees.
Okay.
Ms. Sessage and Mr. Kelly.
So this deal, or the situation that we're in, is not perfect. We've had to compromise. We've had to sort of forego some of the penalties and fees. We've had to look at, you know, bringing them up a little bit. I think Mr. Greider's idea in pulling me into the conversation was because obviously it's the neighborhood that I live in. And had I said absolutely not, you know, maybe we wouldn't even be here. I don't know. I don't want to give myself that much importance on it, but you know, it does impact me, you know, in getting our subdivision finished. I spoke to the HOA. They were excited about getting the subdivision finished. I spoke to the mayor at the time of Yorkville. They were all excited about getting that subdivision finished. They voted 7-1 in favor of, you know, taking, I guess, what you all had offered Yorkville.
Proposal, yep.
Yeah, so whatever their proposal was. So now we're here. And, you know, is it perfect? No. Would we like to see them pay the $2.5 million and the penalties? Of course. But this is where we're at. And they're a national company. And like Scott said, you know, they're probably one of the few companies that probably could do this and obviously have done this before. So, you know, I think we're here at a point where the subdivision isn't brand new. We're not saying let's bring in a brand new subdivision. This was always meant, they should have been built already. So that impact would have already been there to the schools. Dr. Schimpf has already told them, we're ready, we're prepared, move forward if you can. It's great that they're giving some money to the foundation. They're coming in with the full knowledge that yes, our school system will be growing. So I think with that, I think they've covered a lot of the bases that I think, like you said, you really haven't had to do in other communities because other communities have been open-armed about saying, yes, come in and finish our community. Come in and finish the development that was started. Come in and get those properties on the tax rolls. Come in and create rooftops. Whereas we, at this county, have been like, well, you know, maybe let's see how much you can give us. So I think there's the challenge in that for them so far. And I think it's good that we've said, guess what? You left us. You're going to have to pay a little bit to come back. So it's not perfect by any stretch, but I think it's a nice deal, fair.
And along the lines of what you just said, you know, I think the conversation started with, I know Member Purcell was there. I don't remember if there was another member with us when the initial conversation was started, that the two of you had a very robust discussion, we'll say, and you know, we thought, no way is this ever going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know that he and I walked out and were like, you know, have a good day, you know, we weren't moving, and you came and said, you know, 50,000 or whatever it was, 100,000, and that wasn't good enough, and we weren't interested in moving further, and that was the end of it for a while. And then it came back up again, and you know, you being a representative of District 1, but also one that has, you know, some real personal familiarity with the area, it made sense for you to be involved. And as you saw, you know, with the HOA, that they're in favor. You know, if they'd all said, hey, this is a disaster for us, I don't think we would even be considering it. We wouldn't have moved it any further. But, you know, that combined the support of the community, the support of the city of Yorkville, who has now voted in favor of this, and then the fact that you guys came back to the table and upped the ante a little bit and kind of got a little more serious about the negotiating, because I didn't think you were at first, and you know, here we are with I think a better deal. And beyond that, you know, these SSAs are bad news just all the way around. And I think if you know, with the benefit of hindsight, nobody would have done these SSAs, and I don't think anyone's going to do them again. But we've got several around the county, and there's only I think one more left
yeah.
That's not a commercial one. In the county, and so we need to figure out a way to put these behind us. And I think this is you know, as good as anything that we've seen. And maybe there, you know, next year there would be something else that come along. I don't know that, but I'm afraid it'll sit for another 10 years and we'll have the same discussion. You know, another decade, and then the infrastructure is not going to be good anymore. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kellogg, you've been waiting.
I'm going to defer to Scott, and then I have a question. So,
okay, so there is differences if you're trying to divide out the amounts that are paid. If you want to strictly speak about the interest, which would be the net amount that would go to the general fund, that amount for the Lakewood one was $60,711. That's just interest. And that comes out to be on the 40 lots about $1,517. On the Raintree one, it's $550,000. On 366 lots, that comes out to be $1,502. Now, the Lakewood one had other taxes that were due on top of the interest. But if you're just strictly speaking on interest, you can kind of go apples to apples. They are very near each other in amounts.
Thank you. I've got my question now.
Okay.
In the committee of the whole meeting, I voiced my concern about the workload at the treasurer's office, and I don't know which one of you offered to help with that workload. We can't have any of your employees help, but I need clarification on, does that mean covering overtime, because some of this might land during tax season where her office is going to be slammed. And I don't know with the agreement what time frame we have to finish this.
We spoke, one of the things I did in looking at the time frame to set this was what would work best for Jill and her
Thank
office
you.
Because of the timing of tax season. First of all, there were some penalties that would occur if it went too far, if the land purchase and this wasn't extinguished prior to the next penalty thing, then we start that whole process.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to wait till the last minute, which would be at the same time benefits occur for her,
mm-hmm.
to change things at the county level and all the other taxes and other thing else. So she was, and I made sure she had enough room there, she was fine with that October 1st date as being the date that this has to be completed by,
okay.
and the payment plan by, so she could do the disbursements and not affect the operations. Now, she said it's going to be a
Yeah.
work, but it would not affect the operations for other things that she has to do as well.
So I guess in your offer, was there like a not to exceed number? Did you have further discussions about that? Or I mean,
Carl talked.
Nobody spoke about that tonight, and it's not in here. So
I'm sorry, Carl Marshall with Bryan Cave, represent Cal Atlantic. I spoke with the treasurer last week a couple times. You know, I think her main issue, honestly, was like, as you said, she was concerned that this was coming up now, frankly,
yeah.
because we're in the head of tax time. And I had told her, you know, and we kind of talked about timing, generally speaking, and that, one, there's a couple steps that Calatlantic needs to do after this, acquire the bonds, et cetera. So, like, timing would likely be into June, and that seemed to be her major issue. And we kind of talked through the adjustments she needs to make, and I said, you know, is there anything you needed from there? And she indicated that her office can handle it. Her concern, again, was primarily that it was going to happen when she was just completely swamped on other things. But given the expected timing, she didn't seem to think there would be a problem.
Did you have any discussions of what that offer was that you'd made at the meeting? Was that to help, or, I mean, was it a financial help, or?
No, I mean, I was asked to reach out to her to see what her concerns were.
I talked to her, and she was really concerned about overtime and the.
Yeah, so I mean, anything that we can legally do, and I don't know what that means, but yes, we'd be more than happy to help in that regard with her time there. And then just remember too, you know, for us, it's really, we got to have these things cleared out before we sell that house, right? Yeah. So she's got plenty of time. I mean, you know, pull a permit, get the bonds, build that house, that build out everything else. I mean, that's going to be past October, quite frankly. So she should have all that time. We're not rushing to say, hey, this needs to be done now. You know, as long as that it gets done before we sell that for, actually not even sell, close on that first house is really the issue for us.
Yeah, I just wish she was here to talk about the hours that this is going to take, because when I had the discussion with her, she discussed significant hours and time from her office that will be dedicated just to parcel entries. And
we'll be happy to, if we can, we'll be happy to cover any overtime.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So I apologize, Mr. Kellogg. I didn't mean to mention that I sat down with Jill as well and said, what do you need? Because we are willing to, you know, make this work, and, you know, for your office, what do you need specifically? She was really concerned about the timing aspect. So once Calatlantic, once the guys, you know, from Lennar came and said, here's the timing situation, she felt a lot better. She does understand, obviously, this SSA is not going away, these fines and fees. So she was more comfortable, I think, after talking to them and how the process works. She's a lot more comfortable with moving forward with this. I do agree that I think that there's some overtime that's involved, because she was showing me the stack just associated with
one part.
The 40 in Plano. So I was.
I don't want to cover Plano's, but I'll cover Raintree.
She goes, this is just Plano's 40. So we're not even talking about the 300 over here. So I guess my question to you, Scott, then, how many homes do you guys expect to be building per year, or, you know, I guess?
So in a conservative, which I love to run those at when I can, it's generally 24 per product a year. So two a month is a way to look at it. So you got three products out there.
So we're not talking about 300 homes, two children per house in a very short period of time.
It's no.
It's going to, you know.
I'd be fired for that, because then it means we're not selling them for the market rate at that point. So you really try to gauge it to keep yourself anywhere between 2 to 4 units a month, just to kind of balance everything out, because then we need to go out and replace that too. You know, it's a business. So if we burn through too fast, now our business plan's all screwed up for years down the road. Okay. So we're always trying to manage that kind of build out and that flow out there.
Going?
Yeah, well, you know, I know it's not 366 homes all at once, but, you know, I'm thinking long-term on this, because, you know, and we mentioned impact fees that were paid, but that there's a difference between the impact fee, which is just, again, a very small number, and what it costs this Yorkville School District to educate a child each year is over $5,000 per year per student. And yes, you did mention that middle school that's out in Raintree. That school's already at capacity, and all of our other schools are too. We're already over the average class size for the whole state of Illinois in Yorkville School District. So if you look at this long term, it's going to be a huge impact on the Yorkville School District, and I just want everybody to understand that, especially if you live in the Yorkville School District. It's going to impact your real estate taxes.
Can I jump on that real quick? I'm sorry, Mr. Culler. Two things. One, again, not every house is going to generate. We have duplexes and townhomes in there. I mean, I think that needs to be, you know, at least made clear. You know, those generally don't bring in a ton of school children. You know,
is
those
there
usually
any senior housing in there?
No, it's duplex and townhome, but you're generally two bedroom type of houses, maybe three. The single family is what generally generates those houses. So I want to make sure it's been clear. It's not all 366. And then again, we're not building even 90-year, 100-year. Some kids are going to be leaving that district and everything else, new kids will be coming in. Again, if this was a new site, I'm with you on that 100% with the impact. But again, this, you know, the lots aren't going anywhere. I mean, they're sitting there. They're going to get worse and worse every single year. The maintenance is going to get destroyed. I said, we showed the pictures of that Stonegate site. I mean, that was a disaster. We had to go in there and spend $10,000 just to refix what was developed 12 years ago. So how's that going to look in another 5 or 6 years? That could be 20 grand on top of everything else. Again, every single year this thing goes by, the deal gets worse and worse and worse for whoever's going to come in and buy it. Plain and simple. Because you got to come in. We've already got budgeted right now $5,000 a site to fix. Because we know it's not perfect. We know we're going to have to adjust manholes. We know that the curbs are all crushed. We know we're going to have to replace all of those things. So again, you wait another 5, 6, 7 years, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And pretty soon it'll turn into Stonegate where you got trees popping out in Manhattan and bushes because someone's got to maintain.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I really do.
Mr. Kellogg?
I know it may be a small fee, but how do we work in the overtime in the agreement so that we can approve this tonight?
It's not in the agreement. And part of what, you know, I just want to make sure, speaking with Jill,
yeah.
I don't think that she anticipated any overtime. It was just going to be the burden that would be placed on her office at the time that she was going to have to spend to do this,
yeah,
because when she got the payment as it came in to adjust all the 300, because it's not that as each house is developed, it's that one lump sum and having to disperse out to the different parcels and zero all these out as the 300 come in that day before that October 1st. And that's why we used that date. It was going to take some time. Her concern was it was going to be overtime. I don't want to speak for Jill, but the conversations I had was if it happened and the payment came right in the middle of tax season, it would be overtime,
yeah,
because it would be at a time where simply can't do, you know, all my staff is dedicated to this, and now I'm supposed to be making these adjustments and taking these and paying those off and doing her statutory dues over here.
I guess
don't have it right now. I'm sorry, Matt. We don't have anything right now set in here regarding that. That would, it's not something that's currently set in the resolution. You know, obviously, we don't have a legal binding agreement. Just because they say they'll do it doesn't mean they're obligated to.
I guess I've been through enough budget discussions where we hear we're understaffed or we're barely making it, and then we're going to throw this big project on them. So I'm just anticipating what's coming forward. So whether to call it overtime or understaffing or those issues that we're going to hear, maybe former or soon to be former finance chair would like to weigh in on that.
Mr. Purcell.
You know, you have some excellent points. You know, they did offer to ban overtime. But I think I heard Mr. Keppel say there'd be, what, $550,000 that would go to the general fund. So I would hope to God there's not $550,000 in overtime. So, you know, it's a one-time shot. Again, I get it's not perfect, but I just think it's for sake of City of York football.
And you know, I can just show that. I mean, I'm not that old. I know the grays make me look old. I'm 40. I got my fourth kid coming on the way, which means I'm going to be here for a very long time in the Chicago market. So if I'm on record here publicly telling you guys that I will cover your overtime, you got me. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. So I'm going to have to do business in this county, in this town, and everything else for the next probably 25 years away. What my wife spends, but we'll leave it at that. Is that on public? Can you strike that from the public record?
$100. You got my phone number, Kellogg.
Any other questions on this group? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
No.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
All right, motion carries 7-1.
Well, we I know it's crazy, right? But we do really appreciate it. Honestly, you know, it's been a long road here. It's been a lot of hard work on the county side, our side, everything else. So we appreciate your support, and we'll get it done, and we'll make you guys proud. Trust me on that. And my offer's still there. If they have overtime and they need it, just let me know, and we'll take care of it.
There you go.
All right,
thank you.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. We're under old business, and so I'm going to deviate from our script here for a minute. And Fran Kloss, would you mind swinging up here? And thanks for waiting through the evening meeting.
The menagerie.
I know that you wouldn't, you don't have anything.
I'm glad to be here. This has been a lively discussion.
You have to roll from where you've been sleeping.
Sorry.
We've got an important issue that's facing the county that we're trying to, you know, get on top of and push any way that we can. And so I wanted Fran to come out tonight to talk about the Millington Bridge, where we're at. You know, other than the flood waters that are, you know, down there right now that make it difficult. What's going on? What can we do?
Yeah.
How can we get this thing open?
Did everybody get my email?
Yes.
About kind of what was going on. So, yeah, we have met with LaSalle County, with the contractor, Kendall County, and our consultant to try to figure out if there's another way to attack this project. And so now the contractor is looking at perhaps building causeways from each side of the river instead of building a single causeway most of the way across the river, perhaps coming in from both sides of the river one side at a time, so you can allow most of the other water to get around the causeway, and that way they might be able to keep working more continuously instead of just sporadically. The problem with that is, you know, if you do just one side at a time, then you can only work on one pier at a time instead of both piers. So I mean, there's pros and cons to however we try to attack this, and we're fighting high water ever since they started this job. They've plotted the elevations of the river, and we are consistently above the last 6-year average ever since last September. So it has been impossible for the contractor even get in the river. So we are all very frustrated with that. The people who live there are. We are. The contractor is. There's just really nothing they can do at this point until the elevations of the river go down. As soon as they go down, we are ready to jump in and do battle on the project. But until that happens, there's just really nothing they can do.
And how much does it need to go down? I know this is a bad time because it's fresh and it just
yep.
occurred. Are we talking a month?
I wish I could tell you. I mean, we were at flood stage here just a short time ago. So the Fox River is a very large drainage area, so it doesn't go down like it would in a smaller drainage area like the Little Rock Creek, which might take just a few days to go down. This will take at least a couple, 3 weeks probably to get back to what we're going to call normal. But if it keeps raining every day, I can't tell you if they're going to be able to start in 2 weeks or 2 months.
We just had the 1-year anniversary of its closure.
2 years.
2 year.
May 2nd, 2 years.
So.
But I mean, you know, I don't want to belabor all the point here. I know we got a lengthy meeting, but when that bridge closed, completely unexpected. We were ordered by IDOT to close the bridge because of the scour hole under that pier. So at that point, we are completely unprepared to do anything. So the day it closed is the day we started to design and plan, and that takes quite a while. So the contract didn't get started until last year, until 2018. So, and since that contract has been awarded, there just has not been a window of a very, very little window of opportunity for the contractor to do anything. So yeah, over 2 years now.
Well, if there's anyone that we need to be a squeaky wheel to other than Mother Nature, we want to do that, because this is important and it's inconvenience to, you know, a tremendous number of people down there, and they're anxious to get this going.
We are, yeah, all very anxious. And had it been, you know, this could have very easily, and even last year, I stood before you and was optimistic that, hey, we're going to be done by the end of the calendar year. Well, I missed that by a country mile. Mm-hmm. But who knew the water was going to be that high? They just, once it got up to an elevation where it was over the causeway, they're done. They can't continue to raise that causeway and keep working because it could back water up upstream and flood people upstream. Can't do that. So they're limited in what they can do.
And I appreciate you kind of coming up with a new approach to try to just figure out a way to get this done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the best I can do is keep you updated. I just can't promise you anything because I just simply don't know.
Well, I was going to say, you know, this has been going on for 2 years. So for 2 years, have we been dealing with this water level issue, or are there other issues that have prevented it from happening?
Well, there were a lot of issues getting to a letting, because, you know, one of the things that complicated was the fact that this is a joint bridge, and we're not funding it just with Kendall County money. We're funding it with LaSalle County money, because they have to pay equally. Their share was federal, And as soon as you introduce federal money, you've just lengthened the preliminary engineering process by about three times. Plus, it requires this to be a state contract. This IDOT is actually the lead agency on this contract. So the introduction of federal money complicated everything, slowed the entire process down. We had to wait for a state letting. So just getting the project to a letting took many months longer than it would have if it was just our contract.
Okay.
So that was part of the problem, getting it to a contract, and by waiting that long of a time to get it to a contract, we missed lots of windows of dry weather, which, woulda, shoulda, coulda, at this point, once we actually had a contract, when we could actually do something about it, that's when we haven't been able to.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, sure. Brian. Appreciate you sitting there. But
no, I'm happy to do it. And happy, if you have a question too, send me an email if something comes up or somebody complains about something or there's an issue. I'm happy to answer a question anytime.
Oh, we'll for sure send them.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Evidently you have been ready. And just FYI, I guess ABC News is going to be out Monday doing some investigation too and asking lots of people their opinions. So you might see that on the news.
Wow. Well, we don't control the water level.
Dress nice.
Yeah.
Or not.
Thanks, Fran.
Sure.
New business. May I have a motion to approve the HIDA grant G19CH002A, releasing funds in the amount of $1,135,663.
So moved.
Action by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. Any discussion? All in favor? Oh, good. Do a roll call, please.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Thank you. All eyes. Next, Standing Committee Reports, Planning, Building, and Zoning. Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of Petition 1728, a request from the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee for text amendments to Sections 7.01.D.32, Special Uses in A1 Agricultural District, and 7.01.D.33, Special Uses in A1 Agricultural District, and 10.03.D.4, Special Uses in M3 Aggregate Materials Extraction, Processing, and Site Reclamation District of the Kendall County Zoning Ordinance pertaining to the regulation of outdoor target practice or shooting ranges, not including private shooting in your own yard.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion? Mr. Purcell?
I move to amend Article 3, Section 7.01.33.1M and Article 4, Section 10.03.B.4M by deleting the existing language in the proposal and replacing the following: hours and days of operation shall be specified in the special use permit and determined by the county board. However, between October 1st and March 31st, no firing shall take place prior to 10 a.m. or after 5 p.m. And between April 1st and September 30th, no firing shall take place prior to 10 a.m. or after 8:30 p.m. However, notwithstanding the aforementioned hours of operation, up to 12 night shoots per year shall be allowed, ending no later than 10 p.m.
Second.
Motion by Purcell and seconded by Kellogg as to the motion. Any discussion on the motion? Have a roll call on the motion? Motion to amend.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. Now, is there any discussion to the amended motion? May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Kellogg?
We're voting on the actual
text amendment. The text amendment with the amended by Mr. Purcell and seconded by you.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I was just making sure I was voting.
Yes, we're making sure. We're talking about the actual amendment, the text amendment as amended. Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
All eyes. Thank you. Next item. Oh, sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of Petition 1901, request from the Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee for the revocation of a special use permit for a day nursery school granted by Ordinance 1972-15 at 43 West Street in Bristol Township. Properties are zoned R3.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion on this item? Mr. Purcell, Ms. Hendricks.
Is this at the request of petitioner or the person who has the special use permit?
This was not at the request, Mr. Ossemeyer. If you could please come forward. This was not at the request of the petitioner of the special use permit. This permit is no longer being used. And they did not respond to our certified letter stating and asking if it was still being used.
Did you have something to
He's
add?
Like, no.
Do we have any indications that they're using it at all in that respect? Or?
Did you mention that the parcel was divided?
Yeah, the parcel as it existed in 1972 has been divided into three parcels, and the parcel that has the structure on it, the owners there have not claimed to use it since they bought the property, and the other two parcels have not had any building permits or demolition permits issued during the last 2 years. There's no indication that there was ever a building on those two portions of the property.
Are they in opposition to this revocation?
No. They have not spoken.
Were those two parcels part of the original parcel? That
yes. And then it was divided in thirds.
So how was this initiated?
This was initiated, the special use permit required to be reviewed every 2 years, and it was taken to the PBZ committee for guidance as to what to do. At that particular meeting, there were five of these special uses. Two of them that night said they wanted to keep their special use permits. The other one, before we took it through the hearing process, we put the hearing signs in their yards. And
this one?
We put the hearing signs in this yard for this one, and they did not respond. One did respond, and so the two special use revocations that are on the agenda tonight are the two that did not respond.
So you had a sign in their yard about this meeting?
About the zoning hearing, which we're required to do per the zoning ordinance.
And there was no comment?
No, they didn't comment.
So don't we have in the current process, unless requested by the petitioner, the special use goes with the property?
The way the special use permits, most of them are written, the special use is a covenant that runs with the land.
Okay, and we're looking to pull that away then, is what you suggest?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not fair with that.
Ms. Hendricks.
What is the basis for pulling it then? They're not asking us, and they're not in violation, so why are we pulling it?
The zoning ordinance gives the board the authority to revoke special use permits if they haven't been used within 2 years, or if they haven't initiated the use within 1 or 2 years. In the case of these two special use permits, they haven't been used in the last 2 years.
So it's not that something nefarious has happened. They just haven't used what they applied for.
Right.
Mr. Kelly.
And one point of clarification, the committee, was it 2 years ago we directed you to start cleaning up some of these? Because
right.
He brought to us the list of special use permits in the county, and it was a mile long, and we started saying some had a 2-year review, some had a 1-year review, some said review at an indefinite time, and the office has been going through and cleaning them up, and we've had petitioners come in and say, yeah, I'm not using it, but I'd like to keep it, so we've left it alone. So we've had a whole variety in this one, just no response. So, yeah.
What was the vote out of committee?
On this one?
Yeah. The unanimous?
I think so.
Those that were present, yes.
It was unanimous of those that were present.
Yes. The result.
Did they reapply if they needed
it? Yes. I guess I do have one question. First question, is this just a simple majority vote by the board?
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, so we are taking it, say if a person doesn't respond, that we'll go ahead and remove their special use. I struggle with that, but that's your choice as a department to recommend that or whatever.
Ms. Hendricks.
Just curious the impact on their property taxes.
That I don't know.
That's a good question. It goes from business back to
the zoning wouldn't change, and if they haven't used it as what they're proposing their special use permit, let's say they're being taxed for a business and they're not using it as a business, if they haven't protested that, then they'll be taxed as a business, I would think.
Mr. Purcell,
did you send certified letters to them?
Twice.
And they didn't sign for them?
They did.
They just didn't respond. Okay. Thank you.
So you hand over here? Ms. Akers?
No.
Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
No.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
6-2.
Motion carries 6-2.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for approval of petition 1903, a request from Kendall County Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee for the revocation of a special use permit for a truck driving training school granted by ordinance 1996-15 and amended by ordinance 1999-35 at 14525 Route 71 in Fox Township, property is zoned A1.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, second by Kellogg. Mr. Purcell.
And how about the individual of this one?
They just signed the cards.
What's that?
They just signed the green cards. That's all. They didn't respond either way to requests on if they wanted to keep it.
Certified letter?
Right, yeah.
Do we know how this affects property taxes?
No, I don't know. Because
they didn't respond that they wanted it revoked?
They didn't respond that they wanted it revoked, and they didn't respond that they wanted to keep it.
So this is the same situation as the prior one?
Correct.
You're just taking it away because they don't want to speak to you?
Yes.
I mean, that's what you're saying.
What's the letter say? Does it specifically request that they...
The letter requested that they, their special use permit, I believe this one was every 2 years had to be reviewed. And the question was, did they want to keep the special use permit? And that was what we sent to all 27 special uses that had review periods. And this one and the previous one are the ones that didn't respond. This one probably isn't going to respond because the person who applied for it back in 1996 is deceased, but the existing property owners didn't give any indication either way.
Thank you, Ms. Hendricks.
I don't know. My mind is going, and what do we gain by doing this? What do we gain by doing this?
We clean up the list of special uses for the ones that are active and the ones that are inactive.
We clean a list?
Yep.
Mr. Purcell?
So, yeah, you clean a list. Okay.
To me, it's
just create more work for yourself, but whatever.
They can reapply.
What you
want to
do.
Crossfire going on over here. Is that a show? On the left?
Yeah, I do. With Michael Kingsley and Pat. What was
it? Pat.
Yeah, the original one. God, that was a good show, actually.
Roll call.
Mr. Purcell.
No.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Sesich.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
No.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
6-2.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the release of Planning, Building, and Zoning Committee Executive Session Minutes of April 30th, 2019.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Purcell. Discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Right,
one other item, just to clean up in the minutes for the April 30th PBZ meeting for the actual meeting, not the executive session. On page 14, it has Mr. Purcell listed voting as in the opposed and abstaining in the same motion, so we can just...
Well done.
And it was the motion to go into executive session, so I don't remember which one it was.
He said nay.
He said nay?
He beat me to
like a horse.
If we could just delete the second reference.
Thank you.
Facilities.
Mr. Kellogg.
Make a motion to approve window replacement contract for the Historic Courthouse with Patrick McCann Incorporated in the amount of $75,700.00.
Motion by Kellogg.
Second.
Seconded by Purcell. Mr. Purcell.
Is this just one window?
I believe it's two. Oh.
He's scared
of
how many
windows. Only Jim Wyman's behind me.
Be more careful.
And then what was it on budget for this project? Mr. Keppel, do you remember?
This is in budget. I don't have...
Was it 80 grand?
Yeah. I think it was 80 grand, yes. And this is the same project that we've been working on year over year at the Historic Courthouse to replace the windows.
It's going to be a reorder.
Yep.
Yeah, we only received one bid, unfortunately, but it's from the contractor that's been the low bid each and every time.
He's
done it, yeah. So he knows what he's getting into. Jim said he's been happy with their performance and how the projects have gone.
That's fine. Just find out. Let me know how many windows it was.
I think it's two.
It's two.
I know that's
expensive.
Okay. Thank
you. Yep. We'll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell.
Aye.
All ayes. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve the engineering proposal from Healy Bender.
That's what I was going to talk about.
Oh.
We need to move that to the next meeting.
Okay.
We just got the revision back at about 4:20 this afternoon, so it's not ready for approval. So I was trying to get over to
Okay.
Apologize.
I am not making any motions. I'm done.
We should have it ready by the by the next for the day meeting. So.
Okay.
Ms. Hendricks.
Mr. Chairman, I regret to inform you that my time is up and I have no choice.
Turning into a pumpkin.
Don't die. Oh, the corner is there. But.
I won't. But if I did, I'd be in good hands.
Okay. You don't want to steal the thunder of your last meeting, is that?
Twice my food.
Thank you, Ms. Hendricks.
Thank you. Couldn't we?
All right, Finance Committee, Mr. Kellogg.
Make a motion to approve claims in amount not to exceed $1,162,233.08.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Purcell. Any discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes. Sorry.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks? Oh, she just left. I need to go too.
You're all alone over there.
I need to go too.
Somebody said.
I need to go. It's past my bedtime. Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
We can make a motion.
I was going to say, we still have, hang on a second. Yeah, yes, we still will have a quorum if I do this one last time. We're good. So Mr. Purcell has indicated that he will abstain from this next vote, and therefore under our board rules of order shall be treated as though he is not present.
We still have a quorum. I'd like to make a motion to approve quarter claims the amount not to exceed $839.86.
Big dollars.
Yeah.
Mr. Kellogg made the motion.
Second.
Seconded by Sesich. Discussion. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Thank you, all eyes.
I will turn it over to the last time, Chairman.
No more Finance Committee meetings before next week?
No.
You have one. You have a Finance meeting next week?
Yeah, you don't.
No, I don't, yeah.
Yes, friends.
And you're going to be approving the agenda, by the way. I told them to discuss that with you. Okay. So, the last item, the Finance Committee, is the approval of the resolution determining the budget funding source for the Kendall County Health Department Employee Benefits. I move that we approve the resolution. And what page is that in here?
42 of the packet. Page 43 explains the cost analysis that's associated with the resolution.
And what this resolution is here, if you go to page 42.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Kellogg. Mr. Purcell.
Thank you. I apologize. Should I raise my hand?
Get the ruler out.
Chuck it out. So what this motion is that we discussed at the board meal, and we're in a couple times. We went to the health department with the board of health, went to the finance committee, went to their full board meeting, discussing what we thought was a fair proposal. And what it did is it took the last 3 year cash deficit average as of November 30th, the treasurer's report as of November 30th for the last 3 years, average those together. The health department had $191,000 deficit on average. And so what we did is we said, you know, we'll put together a formula that would essentially give them that extra $191,000 and funding per year going forward. And so what this explains is the, in 2018, the Health and Human Services levy was $757,000. And the increased amount to get them to the point where they would gain extra monies, but then be able to pay all their benefits, as this board has urged me to come to an agreement about, that would be the amount not to exceed $697,000. So those two numbers together equal the $1.454 million that was discussed at the Finance several times. So that's what that is.
Mr. Prochaska.
When was the, did you good member chest that you originally go to the Kendall County Board of Health?
Mr. Purcell.
I didn't miss March. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was March. We went to the March finance meeting.
And then you were subsequently at their board of health meeting another time, correct?
Yeah, well, we went to their finance meeting and then we went to their full board meeting.
Okay. And have we heard anything back from the Board of Health at all?
I've heard nothing from anyone. No one's reached out to me.
unless they shot an email late this afternoon, but I heard nothing.
Mr. Kellogg.
One question. We had talked about doing this for like a three-year term in this agreement, but I think this is just a one-year. Is that?
This is until you all as a board change it.
Okay. It doesn't spell it out.
But no. I mean, if you want to make 3 years, you know, we can amend it, but this is just going forward. This is the way it's going to be treated. And quite frankly, one of the concerns I've heard the last few years, because we've talked about this from both the county finance committee, or all, not just both, all, the county finance committee, county staff, and the Board of Health is, you know, this figuring something out at the last minute is tough for people with budgets. So we pass this now in May. Whether people like it or not, at least, you know, this is what's going forward. And this is 191, based on the current formula we have, this is $191,000 hit to the way the county's been budgeting. Mm-hmm. So is it perfect for either party? It probably isn't. It's kind of like that other thing we discussed for whatever, 40 minutes. Is it perfect? I don't know if that's perfect, but at least it spells out for people. These are the expectations going forward. And I think for the budget process, it'll be a lot easier.
I don't think that you can say that you haven't made the effort. You know, I remember John Shaw, when he was chair, going over there with you as finance chair to work this out, you know, several years ago. And then more recently, you came in with a new, an improved plan, and you've presented a couple of times and haven't received any comments back. So, you know, I think that we've done what we can to try to give them some certainty. And that's what I've heard over and over, is they just want some certainty. And I think that this
it's something they can understand. Yeah, it's a lot clearer.
Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussex?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
Oh, if I could add one thing.
You may.
That was the last charge I had from you and the rest of you as finance chair. So I'm relieving my duties as finance chair. Not as board member yet, but as finance chair.
Well, thank you for that. And you're right. We did, you know, that is something that we've talked about for years, you know, for years. And more specifically, last fall at budget season, we said, let's get this figured out and let's come up with a plan. And thank you for doing that. You've put a lot of time and effort into this. We've had a lot of conversations, and I know you have, with other members of the board. I know, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank Amy as well for kind of taking this on and working this out, and the rest of the finance committee too for coming up with this.
No, thank you all for listening, because you've heard a lot of four-letter words come out of my mouth over the past several months.
Admin, good. HR. Yeah, good. I was trying to think of one. I didn't come up with anything, so I just moved on.
He's got a swear
drop. John, a swear word. And the English doctor.
Admin, HR. Judy, do you want to?
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution authorizing application for financial assistance from the Regional Plan for Regional Transportation Authority under Section 5310 of the Federal Transit Act.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussex?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All ayes. Thank you.
Next, I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution creating a Census 2020 Complete Count Commission to plan and conduct local educational initiatives, publicity, and promotional activities to increase community awareness and participation in the 2020 census.
Thank you. Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussex?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Animal control. Ms. Sussex. Backside.
We just have some executive session minutes, so I will make a motion to approve the release of the animal control executive session minutes from July 29th, 2015, August 15th, 2015, and April 24th, 2019.
Sorry. Motion by Sussex, seconded by Purcell. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Committee of the Whole. I don't see the minutes. They're not in here. Standing Committee minutes. May I have a motion to approve the Standing Committee minutes?
So moved.
So moved.
Motion by Purcell.
Second.
Seconded by Gilmore. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports, KenCom Executive Board, Mr. Prochaska.
They approved the non-union employee pay increases. They're working on an interconnected system with Grundy County, so Grundy can more fully serve as our backup center. Other than that, normal.
Thank you. UCCI, other state associations and organizations. Chaska.
Mr. Chairman, on Monday, May 20th is the next meeting of the United Counties Council of Illinois down in Springfield. On July 21st through 23rd is the annual summer conference. If anyone is interested in attending, please let me know. UCCI does underwrite the costs, or most of the cost of lodging for that event. And then this upcoming Friday is the first meeting of the ISACO Large County Caucus.
Housing Authority, Mr. Prochaska.
No report.
Board of Health? Anyone?
Tony.
Mr. Giles. Chairman's report. May have a motion to approve appointments for Richard Kuhn, Oswego Fire Protection District, 3-year term expiring April 2022. Don Brummel, Little Rock Fox Fire Protection District, 3-year term expiring 2022. Scott Wade, Little Rock Fox Fire Protection District, 3-year term expiring 2022. Scott Greider, ISACO Large Counties Caucus, 2-year term expiring April 2021. And that is a replacement of John Purcell.
So moved.
Mr. Purcell, motion.
Second.
By Vickers. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And Sheriff, did you want to just come up for a minute? I know that there was a question that came up earlier that Ms. Sesich had, and I thought maybe this would be a time where you could ask that question.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Sheriff, you heard Mr. Porter talk up here about, you know, his issues and some of the things that he's heard at that, or supposedly heard at our gun range.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions that I wanted to ask you, you know, while that discussion was happening, was in all of the times that this gun range has been operational, have there been any incidences of any harm to anyone or anybody complaining that gunfire was, or bullets have entered their homes or any of that?
No, there has not been anyone outside of the range. There's been workman's comp injuries for various reasons, but there's been nothing reported to me in my 4 years, and I don't know of anything from any of the people that have been there longer than me. It's never been brought up. Obviously, this has been quite the topic around the sheriff's office and I've been doing some research going back as well to try and find it.
And I know that Mr. Porter did state that he has lived here 12 years or lived in that area for 12 years. At any point in that 12 years before this email exchange, because he did send us an email, had he complained or called your office at any time in those 12 years?
Not that I know of. I've talked with Mike Peters, and he doesn't recall the name, and I don't have any recollection since December 1st of 14 of any contact with Mr. Porter.
And the berm that he stated, it is inspected by the state, right? So what you guys shoot into is at the level that it's supposed to be, or what is that when they speak to that it's not high enough, or that it's, you know,
the berm is inspected by the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board, looking on their inspection sheet. They use a Nikon, it actually spells it out on their inspection sheet. It's some Nikon forestry tool that's supposed to do the distance back and the height of the berm. There was some question of that when I looked at the last report, that it was reported at 17 feet tall. I questioned that. I think maybe there was a problem with the math or the Nikon reader that day. So I had a excavator come out and measure the top of the berm. And it was 22 foot 6. Now the laser that was used It's about that tall, and it sets on the berm. You set it on the top, and then you raise the stick to the level where it will start to beep, and that's where you know the height of it. And so it's probably around 22 feet because it started beeping at approximately 22 foot 6, and it's probably about 6 inches higher than the berm. So we estimate it to be around 22 feet. We'll clarify that when they come out for the July inspection. They're slated to come out.
And what is it supposed to be?
Right now, it's supposed to be higher than 12 feet. That is going to change as of December of 2021, I believe, to 20 feet. Okay. And we exceed that, and there is enough earth down there on a portion of the land that we're not using in order to increase that berm much higher if we'd like. So,
all right. Thank you.
But we also have the other range, down in Lisbon, and that was way behind schedule with finishing. So I talked with the landowner today, the leasor, about extending that out, and they have to look at their long-term plan for their mining in order to perhaps get some more use out of that before we go putting money in there. But that will be something that I will be bringing to the board to look at doing some improvements on that range, because the berms just got finished in late October, and as the board knows, our budget was submitted in early September. So but we're going to be doing some work on that and bring that to the board in this budget cycle.
So what's the date that?
Especially since John's gone.
What's the date of use for that one in Lisbon?
It was a 25-year lease, and it was signed, I believe, in March of 2013.
So you're already gone through 6 years.
It's 6 years, have gone through. And now, originally what I was told, that it was supposed to be done in about a year and a half. The berms were supposed to be completed, and that obviously was not the case.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? And John, I will have to say that you've made me a better manager and a better administrator. I think you were class of 86 in Yorkville, class of 86 in Oswego. We both were class of 88 at Waubonsie. We took different classes. But I will miss you. But I do have my any Tuesday nights that I have free, I will come and heckle you at the City of Yorkville meetings, I hope.
Heckle.
Thank you.
Is there any other business, Mr. Purcell?
So whoever gave me this map,
thank
you. I remember seeing this somewhere. I don't remember where the heck I saw it, but somebody gave us a map. It has all the different counties of Illinois by name and the shape of the county. So whoever it was, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It's probably been on your desk for 10 years.
I know at least 6 months ago Val had a bunch of those, but I don't know.
Well, it's possible. You know, there's some dust down here.
Public comment. Come on up. Say your name for the record, and you have 5 minutes.
Chris Pollock again of Kendall County. Just to comment, because I used my time last time for 1728, just to clarify a few things. I mean, Captain of the State Police was brought in today to reiterate to you that there is no shooting time available at their two ranges for 2019. I did speak with them today privately, and I agree 100%, there is nothing available for them. But when the State Police was contacted back in the first week of November of 2018, there were numerous openings throughout the year at either of their ranges. And the department in question that was approached to let them know what the State Police had said, they were told to contact them immediately because it is filling up for 2019, and if it wasn't done, there wouldn't be any time available. So that wasn't done. And when they were contacted in April of this year, yes, they are full for 2019. If they want to shoot at their range in 2020, they need to start looking toward getting a contract with them to shoot at either of their two ranges for 2020 by November of this year. Second is I did a FOIA request on the inspections done since 2010 on the current gun range that exists there, and it's done by the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. In 2010, the back berm on their inspection was reported to be 30 feet. In 2011, 30 feet. 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, 30 feet. In April of 2016, in their report there, it said that the back berm was changed and material was brought in to increase it. At that time, the Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board reported it was again 30 feet. In 2017, the back berm was reported as 30 feet. Last year, magically, the back berm was reported that it was measured, and the back berm now is only 17 feet. So it went from 30 feet over a period of 9 years. Now it's down to 17 feet. They measured it, and it was just said that recently someone else measured it, and it's up to 22 feet again. Well, all I can say is for the past 10 years, the back berm has been measured at 30 feet, and now it's down to 22. Last year was only at 17, so I'm not sure how that exists. But the state police, their berms on both their ranges, on the sides and in the back, are over 50 feet, not 20 feet, because they are allowed to have high caliber weapons shoot there, and that offsets the possibility of ricochets and misfires going over their berm. And that's all I wanted to comment about what was said. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Any other public comment? Say your name again, and you also have 5 minutes.
Jeremy Porter, Yorkville, Illinois. I wanted to respond to your question. I have never called the Kendall County Sheriff about this. In fact, I hadn't looked into it until recently when I received a flyer, and I pulled this range up on a map, and at that point I took a look at it, and you've got I'm not sure exactly how long it is, but a 50-yard range or thereabouts with weapons that can reach 5,600 meters. And just so everybody understands this, Batwing SDZ, the red dot is the area that the person is firing the weapon. The red arrow is an 18-foot berm, okay, an 18-foot earth berm, and the black dots beyond that 18-foot berm are where projectiles or parts of projectiles were found. Okay, so just because there's a berm doesn't mean it's stopping projectiles. Okay, the berms will change over time as the bullets hit the top of the berm and go 4,000, 3,000 yards some direction, the tops of the berms get knocked off. Okay, so that's why the heights will change and periodically they're rebuilt. But the height of this berm and the configuration of this particular range, it is barely suited for pistols, let alone AR style 5.56 cartridges, 308 rounds that are being fired there. Again, I believe that law enforcement should have all the training they need. It just needs to be done somewhere where it's safe and the public is not in harm's way. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Say your name for the record, and you also have 5 minutes.
Sure. Todd Miller in Yorkville. I'll share a little more on Chris's FOIA. The left berm is 8 foot. That is the bare minimum that the Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standard Board requires, 8 foot. The right berm, which is the berm that would be protecting Mr. Porter's house, is 10 foot. So another FOIA indicated that Naperville police were using that range and they couldn't really account for the days that they had used that range. I'll be glad to produce that email. That said, the people that were using it from Naperville were their SRT team, which I think it stands for Special Response Team, and they use some type of special weapons that are probably shorter and have a rapid fire, and their sniper unit or their snipers. So those were some high-powered weapons that were being used there. and by Naperville Police, who paid our sheriff's department $500 to use that range. And all the departments pay that $500. And it was my research back in 2012 that resulted in a written complaint against the then sheriff, who was commingling funds in the commissary account, and that's where they were parking those range fees. And Mr. Weiss's office was kind enough to let him know that that was not what they should be doing and asked them to separate those funds. That was done so. And now in the general fund, you have a special account called the range fee account, which has $47,000 in it right now. So the sheriff does have designated funding to go ahead and develop and use that range down south, and there's $47,000 available to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Questions for the press?
No questions.
Executive session?
That's my gift to you.
We have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Prochaska. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. We are adjourned.
Is there any way I can get a copy of this?